This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi, everyone. It's the Deacon.
And the Dee.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins. A little bit late. Why are we late, Dee?
Well, we did a little bit of traveling, and I had been sick. We'll get into that in a little bit. Hey, this is Catholic Vitamin A for adoption.
A little bit of an unusual word given the guest and what we'll be covering, but I would like us to consider adopting the Holy Father and our bishops in prayer for the World Synod on Families, which will be taking place in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia this fall. And our guest is Maria Hidalgo Dolan, a self-described recovering attorney, but a lady who was one of 24 that were recruited and put through their paces to become lay representatives to the media for the Catholic Church. And so each of them will have an area of specialization or topics that they'll be prepared to talk about. And whenever anybody in the media wants to speak to someone about, I'll just make this up, about receiving communion if you're civilly married and not married in the church, or the media wants to know about contraception, the teachings of the church on contraception, there'll be people who have that kind of training there, and there'll be lay people. So I think this is going to be an interesting interview.
We haven't yet gotten our schedule from EWTN for September, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of coverage, a lot of airing on their network.
Absolutely.
And as well as you said, the secular network.
Yeah, the secular media will be covering it because of the Holy Father. So Maria Hidalgo Dolan, Esquire, is our guest. We'll get to her in a little while. We have some other things to do, a little bit to share.
All right. We're up to episode 285, if anybody's counting. We just started the 11th round of a new alphabet.
So that was the vitamin A that you mentioned,
yes.
Adoption. And dear folks, we are coming up on our anniversary very, very soon. It's end of August,
yeah.
Isn't it?
We got to do some planning here.
I know. I don't know what we can do for some sort of special, I don't know, anniversary things, but we'll have to think about that. We sent out a package to, who was it?
Matthew in Texas.
Oh, gosh. And it was $6. I never intended the postage cost to mount up that high. But
yeah, because there was a book in the package, so it was a little heavy.
And it came back.
It came back. So, Matthew, if you're listening, because I went looking for an email address for you, and I can't find it. So if you're listening, please contact us so we can get your correct address. Maybe I have an old one here, old address.
But I mentioned that we'll have to think of some special things to do which are not super costly for our anniversary. I haven't come up with an idea yet. Maybe, Dee, you'll help me to put our thinking caps on to do that.
Maybe for our anniversary, our sixth anniversary, everybody could donate through PayPal and give us a present.
Oh, gosh. That wasn't what I was thinking. All right.
I know. I didn't mean that. Just joking. So, like you said, we have been out of touch for a little bit because of things going on. I was down in the valley for a couple days, 1 week, and then I came back, and then I wasn't feeling good the rest of the weekend.
Mm. So, we flew to Florida once you became well, and we were involved in a family wedding affair. We had a family reunion They included everybody but one, so it was really nice to have.
Right. Missing one of our children, but that was good. I mean, the one that we were missing were the one that lives closest to us here, so we do see her more often. But the other ones we hadn't seen in quite a while, so it was really nice.
Congratulations, blessings, and love to John and Caitlin, and may you be blessed with a long, long life and marriage together.
Caitlin, welcome to our family. And your lovely little daughter, Jo. She is so precious. Oh, what else do we have? Oh, Sonia, are you going to mention something about Sonia's Bible study?
Yeah.
We got a little promo thing about
that. We got a flyer that said that even now as we're putting this podcast together, Sonia has started a podcast at Our Lady of... Bible study. At Our Lady of the Lake Catholic Church in Indian Lake in Hendersonville. I believe that's in Tennessee. And it's based on the book Unleashed. Beneath the title, Sonia has written, "Could the Holy Spirit be working on my toxic relationships or my bad habits or terrible circumstances, even my strongest desires?" So we hope that they're doing well in that Bible study. And if you are not able to participate in that, we hope you'll buy Sonia's book Unleashed. And I've read it cover to cover, and you know if you've been with us for a while that I interviewed Sonia right here in our home when she was visiting about that book.
Right. I got a good piece of feedback here that we got from our friend Tim in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
He had been to one of those wonderful conferences, summer conferences at Franciscan University. He said, "Tom and Dee, I listened to your last show, Catholic Vitamin Z for Zest. I just wanted to follow up with my last letter and tell you a little about my experience in Steubenville, Ohio, at Franciscan University. First, it was amazing to talk about Zest. It is amazing to be at the home of so many great Catholics. I know Steubenville is not Rome, but I felt like I was at home. The speakers were on fire and the music was great. Bob Rice and his liturgical band was over the top. Now I can relate to your excitement for Bob. Also, a praise and worship artist, Matt Maurer. Maurer. You need to reach out to him, Tom, for a show. Mm-hmm. Not only is he a great speaker, but his concert on Friday night was so uplifting. Scott and Kimberly Hahn were our hosts for the entire weekend. I finally had the blessing of seeing them and hearing them both talk. Wow. Patrick Madrid, Patrick Coffin, Dr. Peter Kreft, Father Michael Gately, Ulf Ekman, Mike Aquilina, Dr. Taylor Marshall, Jennifer Fulweiler. Gosh, she's
we've had virtually all of those on the show, or many of them.
I'm sure I forgot someone, he said. What an all-star collection of great Catholic men and women. The liturgy was amazing, that's for sure. Archbishop Bernard
Hebda, I think.
Led us with Bishop Jeffrey Montfortin as well. Just beautiful. Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament was like nothing I have witnessed in the past. I really felt as if the Lord was with and pouring out special graces on all of us. Such a great gathering of like-minded Christians. But the most amazing thing was all the wonderful people I met. The attendees came from all over the U.S., Canada, and the world. I met people from the Philippines, Uganda, China, Malaysia, truly international, and everybody on fire for the Lord. The students who served us were so gracious as well. You know about that, don't
you? I do,
you?
Absolutely. We've even interviewed some of the students on our show. Yep.
Tim continued, "You could feel the love everywhere you went. These young men and women were so special. It gives me hope for the future of our church."
Amen.
Thank God for this experience.
Well, thank you, Tim. I just know from your excited words that you have found what I've found, which is, for me, 10 years of just having my faith renewed, restored, refreshed, and it's just great to go to Franciscan University. I don't want to take anything away from other Catholic places of education where they might have summer programs, but it is really, really special at Franciscan. So all you have to do is just get on their mailing list, and you'll know what their programs are during the summer, but that Defending the Faith is one of the premier summer programs that they do. Dear, we mentioned Sonia. And I know that she has a great piece for us today. Should we?
Yeah, let's bring her in.
All right, here's our dear friend and scriptural evangelista, Sonia Corbett.
This is your weekly Bible supplement on Catholic Vitamins with scriptural evangelist Sonia Corbett.
We're talking about the Old Testament priesthood and the rebellion of the sons of Korah against the institutional priesthood that God instituted in the tabernacle. And we saw in chapter 17 of Numbers, which is a very short little chapter, that God commanded the leaders of each tribe to take their rods and put them inside the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant rested. Now, these people were shepherds. Their rods, these rods that are talked about in the scriptures, they're basically walking sticks. They're just like shepherd's staffs. But they were also a sign of tribal authority, so that the staff of each tribe leader was the emblem of his tribe or his flock. In the Catholic Church, we see the same thing. It's when you look at the bishop's staff and see how that's shaped like a shepherd's crook, that's exactly what that is. It's a symbol of authority. The Holy of Holies in the tabernacle was where God's presence rested in the cloud. So God was saying he wanted those staffs brought to him. And when they did that and brought those tribal staffs, just dead sticks that belonged to each of the leaders of the tribes, of the men that God had chosen, the one that belonged to the priest that God had chosen would come alive to bud. And it was Aaron's rod that budded. And it not only had leaves, but it had ripe almonds. If you look in verse 8, it says, it had sprouted and put forth buds and had produced blossoms and yielded ripe almonds. So it was a live stick or a live fruited rod or staff that had basically, it was dead and had come to life. It had resurrected. Isn't that cool? And so it was a dead stick one day, and the next day it had living almond flowers and ripe almonds. So God turned Aaron's ordinary shepherd staff into a final ruling on this institutional priesthood. And then, just to emphasize the point, the Lord commanded the other leaders to take back their dead staffs from the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle to show submission to God's ruling and his selection. And then after that episode, God gave the Levite tribe to the Old Testament priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, as assistants and helpers. Isn't that sweet? Because what he heard, if you'll look back in chapter 16, if you'll read that section one more time, what he heard from them was that they longed to be closer to him. They wanted more of a purpose, and they went about it wrongly, and they were ambitious and proud, really, in seeking that. But at the same time, God listened to their heart and their desire to be closer to him, and so he gave them what they wanted. He made them assistants and helpers to the high priesthood in all the things that pertain to the tabernacle. And he did that in Numbers 18, verses 6 and 7. He says specifically, "Behold, I myself have taken your brothers, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. They are a gift to you, given by the Lord, to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting." Isn't that sweet? I just love that. So God heard their hearts, and even though they went about it wrongly and he had to kind of put his foot down and make this final statement, he still gave them something of what they desired. Now, beloved, I want to tell you that there has never been a time that I have asked God for something with all of my heart that he has not given me something. Now, I can't always get exactly what I want. In fact, I remember a story by a pastor many moons ago of a man whose little boy asked over and over and over for a little red bicycle. He wanted this bicycle, and his dad kept telling him, "You're just too young. You're too young. We can't do it yet." And the little boy just begged and begged for this bicycle. And they lived up on this big hill, and so the dad was afraid, you know, that he was just too young to be able to ride it, and so he just wouldn't give it to him. Well, finally he capitulated, and he bought the little boy this red bicycle that he had longed for and begged for all this time, and he rode that bicycle. It was just too big for him, and he ended up in the street and was run over by a car. So, dear one, when we don't get what we're begging for, it's because God knows better. But at the same time, I encourage you to continue asking, because God will give you something. He always gives something according to the desires of our hearts, because oftentimes the Bible says that in the Psalms that God gives us the desires of our hearts. That means two things. It means that he gives us the desire to begin with, and then he fulfills that desire. So if it's a desire from God, he will fulfill it. It may take years, But even if he can't give us the thing for which we long, he will give us something. So I encourage you to continue to go back to God and ask for what is on your heart, because God answers those prayers. He listens to our hearts. I love that story. I mean, and even though the Levites kind of got in a little trouble here, God was still, he was still condescending to them in the most tender of ways. But the point in this whole story is how serious God is about priestly authority. And the other point is that the institutional priesthood is God's idea. You know, it's not the Catholic Church's idea. God's idea was to have two levels of priesthood, one institutional and one as a lay priesthood. And what do we have in common? We offer sacrifices. That's what a priest does. He offers a sacrifice. We offer sacrifices in communion with Christ's. And I'll get to that in a few moments, what that means. And the institutional priesthood in the Catholic Church offers the sacrifice of the Mass, the Eucharist, on behalf of the people. All right? But ultimately, it's always Christ who is offering the sacrifice through us, because only he has a sacrifice that is worthy. We looked at that in yesterday's show, but the Bible says that all of our righteousness is just filthy rags. Our very best cannot come anywhere near close to what is acceptable to God. And so we can only offer what we have, our small bits, in union with what Christ has already done on our behalf. And so when we do that, for instance, when you sacrifice for a family member, when it's in their best interest, when you don't feel like getting up and doing dinner for them, or you don't feel like getting up and going to work, or whatever it is that we do to sacrifice for our families, when we do that and we do it in union with Christ and because we love him, that is an acceptable sacrifice because we're doing it out of love. Isn't that awesome? I love that. It brings that idea and that understanding brings great dignity to all of the very small things that we sacrifice for God out of love. So, Aaron's rod, living, budded, and fruited with almonds, was supposed to be kept inside the ark, inside the tabernacle, so in the ark, in the tabernacle, as a continual confirmation to those rebellious men and leaders that God desired a living, fruitful, perpetual, cooperative, institutional priesthood that would keep watch over God's people. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I'll show you in a few minutes. But for right now, this priestly cooperative between the Levites and the Aaronic priesthood suggests the future relationship of our own Pope and our and his brother bishops to our bishops and their brother priests. And say, we see St. Paul says in Romans 13, 1 and 2. In fact, I want us to turn there. This is a really, really important passage of Scripture. Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2. I'm not sure I can communicate strongly enough how much and how often, how strongly God has hammered this into my life. But it says in verses 1 and 2 of Romans 13, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Ouch. Talk about a strong warning. God used the Old Testament conflict over this priesthood and St. Paul's warning here in Romans to instruct me that resisting authority is really resisting God. And so I realized that I better keep my mouth shut where my church leaders were concerned. I could talk to him about my complaints. I could even go to the pastor himself, and I could take whatever avenues of authority there were in their order. And in times of abuse of authority, this is necessary. But to refuse or resist their authority, to gossip about them or to try to undermine them is a sin. In fact, rebellion, as I said earlier, was the sin of Satan. Now, I have to say that between the very first split, church split that I experienced, and the second one that I experienced about 5 years later, this is what God taught me. Every time I had a murmuring or an anxiety or a that irritation rise up in my heart, God kept pounding me with this scripture. Keep your mouth shut. Don't gossip. Stay out of it. Do what you're told and understand that I have put him in that position. And so all I could do was just say, yes, Lord. So fast forward 5 more years when we had another church split with a new pastor. See, now I didn't know the first pastor very well, and I wasn't that close to him. But our second pastor, I was very close to. I adored him and still do, and his family. And so to see that happen again and to have had this lesson, just, oh my word, I just can't even tell you how many times God has used this on me to correct my rebellion, not just at church, but at work and in my marriage and with my employers and church leaders. I mean, you just name it, I have rebelled against them. If they're in authority over me, I have a problem. I'm sorry. It comes from my background, and I am very proud. So that makes me very rebellious. But I am continuing to learn, and this is where God instructed me. And so when that second church split happened, it horrified me. It horrified me so terribly because I understood how evil it was and how Satan was using the parties involved to keep the gossip stirred up and to keep the animosity stirred up and to make us dislike one another and try to seek revenge against one another. And it just was so very, very ugly and very hurtful. But hear me loudly and clearly. I'm not condoning abuse of power and authority. We're going to talk about issues of sin and leadership in a future session when we talk about that lampstand. But it's still true. And all the saints testify to it, that to submit to legitimate authority, even when they might be wrong. Now, wrong doesn't mean, well, and in some cases, they may actually even be sinning against us. And I promise I'll get to that and tell you some experiences that I've had where that is true, where God still worked and he was working through all of that providentially. But even when they might be wrong, God is drawing you to himself in a special way through those experiences. And Jesus himself taught us that to see God working through earthly authority takes great faith. Until next time, this is Sonia Corbett, your personal scriptural evangelista with Catholic Vitamins.
Blessings, dear Sonia Corbett from Bethpage, Tennessee. Thank you for sharing biblical supplements on this program about vitamins. Thank you very much, dear.
Yes.
You went hiking today, and I didn't. You want to say anything about the hike that you went on? What was it? Was it nice?
It was very nice. It was in the woods. It was near a lake out east of where we live, about probably 15 miles or so. It was cool this morning, actually. It was just surprising. A nice breeze. We were in the shade, so we didn't get hot at all today.
How many miles do you typically hike?
This is our low mileage group. So we just hike for an hour, stop and take a little snack break, and then hike back. So we usually average about 4 miles.
4 to 5 miles. Mm-hmm. Well, I was at the knee doctor, second visit, and he gave me a needle shot in my knee, which sounds a lot worse than it was. I sort of turned my head away, although I watched what he was heading towards. And once he was in there, it wasn't that bad. So then he told me he wanted me to do some exercises that would strengthen the muscles in my leg. And so I went and did that at the local gym that I'm a member of. And then you and I met, and here we are to continue with Catholic Vitamins.
Had some cheap Mexican food.
What do you got there in your hand?
I have a little piece of feedback from Kevin Sweeney in New Jersey. He was taking a guess for our Catholic Vitamin A. He thought ablution?
Ablution, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what that was for sure. He said water jars used for ablution.
Cleansing.
So I looked it up and said the act of washing oneself, like purification or hygiene. Also, a ceremonial act of washing parts of the body or sacred containers. A certain form of absolution.
Well, on this show, which is an A-oriented show, isn't it?
Yes.
The word is not evolution. Sorry, Kevin. It is adoption. A lot of people around the world are beginning, and particularly the United States, are beginning to adopt the importance, the prayerful need of the world meeting of families. And we'll be joining our guest in just a few moments. But right now, Dee, Mariana, has agreed to join us again this weekend with another missionary moment. Mariana Bartholomew is a 7-time award-winning journalist up in the Chicago area, and I have hopes, high hopes, that we will be able to interview her in person someday, whether here or up there.
We will.
All right. We'll be back.
This is journalist Mariana Bartholomew with a missionary moment. A Chicago area lady who owns a coffee shop just spent a month in Lebanon visiting her American son, his Lebanese wife, and new baby. Any search of news on the Middle East brings reports of Hezbollah and the Islamic State, refugee camps, car bombs, human trafficking, a mind-numbing array. Yet my friend's vision penetrates this web of regional conflicts and misery. She looks like a typical suburban mom in knit shirt and capri pants, and yet she's a world-hopping heroine. In recent years, she has twice left comforts in the U.S. to fly into the heart of the Middle East. Love draws her. This summer, she made the trip to meet her new grandbaby and spend time with her son and his little family. They are all Christian, in territory where being Christian can get you killed. My friend stayed in her son's and his wife's little apartment, taking cold showers and having power just several hours daily. Even tap water was contaminated, and everyone washed vegetables in a bleach solution. Meals featured pita, hummus, and olives, and the cracked wheat salad called tabbouleh. One day, my friend's daughter-in-law took special pains over stuffing and baking a squash. At a friend's house on another evening, the visitor from America was presented with mysterious little packets wrapped in grape leaves. Their taste was so pungent, she secretly transferred the bundles to her son's plate. Meat is costly, so many people in the region eat largely vegetarian. Kebabs with meat are a special treat. But one of this lady's favorite meals was the night she prepared for her family and friends American-style sloppy joes, mixing the precious ground beef with barbecue sauce made from scratch. Hearing details of Lebanese cuisine had me forgetting for a moment the dangers families face in hot spots across the Middle East. But then our conversation turned. My friend told how tourists must be as savvy as local residents in choosing destinations. Some areas are strictly off limits. Others seem stable one day, only to have bombs dropping on them the next. It's tough to imagine any sort of business taking place under such conditions, and yet people go about and forge their lives the best they can. This lady's son supervises and teaches at a little school. During her visit, she helped 4 hours daily, teaching English to the children. When other teachers called in sick, her son called his wife to pack up the baby and come teach Arabic. They had a bug-out strategy, said my friend. If fighting edged into their area, they planned to flee into the mountains. They spoke about getaway plans, like families in the Midwest talk over emergency plans in case of tornado. In Lebanon and in countless regions worldwide, families just like yours and mine plan their daily meals, their occupations, and life has a patina of normal. But reality can turn on a dime. The coffee shop owner told how she visited a winery in Lebanon and enjoyed the tour. But just 1 week later, bombs fell in that region, shutting the whole area down. How are we to keep happy and sane in such an uncertain world? I've had mom friends admit they refuse to follow the news. But if we educate ourselves daily on local and world events, we can better target our prayers. And taking time to hear the stories from our world-traveling friends and generating friendships of those in our neighborhoods of different backgrounds will help us remember that many people all over the world are a lot like us. They're striving to live holy lives, to raise whole families. But in war-torn areas, the struggle takes on Herculean proportions. People need our prayers and support. We must daily pray and work toward peace in this world. We must nurture a world vision. We all can make a difference. Look at my coffee shop friend. I'm sure that many years ago she never anticipated that her all-American son would follow a missionary vocation to, and fall in love, in Lebanon. Now news from the Middle East strikes her in a deeply personal way. Let's start by turning courageous eyes to the news, and then opening generous hearts to prayer. God will lead us on how He would like us to work toward world peace, whether it be a simple Hail Mary offered daily for this cause, or involvement on a deeper level. May God help us save bodies and souls at home and across our struggling world.
Mariana Bartholomew, thank you once again from Catholic Vitamins. Thank you for helping us to share in your faith walk and in your missionary moments.
Hey, we played on our last podcast some of Margot B. Smith's music.
Yes, yes.
And she wrote to us and said, I enjoyed your Vitamin Z podcast. Thank you for sharing my music with your listeners. Love in Christ, Margot.
All right. Thank you, Margot. I love that new song that you've recorded. And may we refer many people to your website over time as they hear us, margotbsmith.com.
We have to welcome a new friend of Catholic Vitamins on Facebook.
Oh.
Carrie Scannell Banach.
Banach, there Banach. You go.
Spelled B-A-U-N-A-C-H, and I wrote back to her and said, how do you pronounce that?
Well, we're glad that you joined us, Carrie, and I think I remember seeing some words that you've been listening for a while and that you've enjoyed it, and we enjoy having you as a friend of Catholic Vitamins. Don't forget your dues payment, Carrie, please.
No.
Oh, did you waive them?
I waived them. Of course I did.
Hey, D, we're, oh my goodness. Sounds like Bandit needs to do something. I'll let you run downstairs, and we'll be right back.
I'm back.
All right. Good. So Bandit took care of what he needed to do.
Right. Now can we take care of what we need to do?
Well, our show, D, has been on adoption, and our primary focus is on marriage. We'll get to our guest, Maria, in just a moment. Many years ago, before I was a deacon, I was doing communion services for our parish, our small mountain parish up in Estes Park, Colorado. And I began to talk about the Christian Foundation, excuse me, for children and aging.
Right.
And I think I threw a challenge out that we ought to do something as daily Mass goers. And what resulted from that challenge was that we, for maybe 3 years, we were sponsoring a young boy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
I do.
He was in Mexico, I think, but Latin America for sure. And every once in a while, somebody would give me a $5 bill or a $10 bill, and we kept sending in our money every quarter.
Right.
And we sponsored him for a long time. That led to you and I sponsoring an older gentleman, an aged person in the Philippines.
Yeah. We started out, though, with a child of our, sponsoring a child of our own through them, and then that child reached, I think, the age where they grow out of the program, and there's a certain age cutoff that they can't be part of the program anymore. So then we took up and we decided to do an elderly person. And so for, I know, 5-6 years, more.
I think we've been involved with what used to be called the Christian Foundation for Children and Aging.
And they changed their name just about a year or two ago to Unbound. They're now known as Unbound.
You might go to their website and consider adoption of a child, adoption of a family, or adoption of an elder.
So we have right here, we have a picture of Alfredo.
We do. We've been getting pictures and updates over the years, letters from him, which
just
he shares.
Just got a brand new picture. And then what, just a year or so ago, we were talking with somebody, got acquainted with somebody in our parish here in our town, and he was involved in Compassion International.
Right, right. He's an area sponsor, I will say. He helps people to learn about that organization. He also helps to put on concerts that raise funds and sponsors for the organization. And so
he inspired us, and so we are now sponsoring a young girl. I think she's about 5 years old now in India.
Yes, that's right. And we recommend that organization, Compassion International, as well. Well, Dee, we have let chatter and our prattle, as we call our front end work, get kind of long because it's been over some segments. Let's take a well-deserved break and introduce our listeners to Maria Hidalgo Dolan. Today is a special day on Catholic Vitamins. We have the honor of being on the phone with Maria Hidalgo Dolan. She is a daughter of the King. She is a wife, mother, faithful Catholic, and she's going to be one of our representatives to the World Meeting of Families. We've got a lot to cover, and I've already said to Maria when we joined our time together, but before I started our recording, that I think I would like to be on with her 3 or 4 times, and for sure after the Holy Father's visit to Philadelphia. But we'll get into all of that. Maria, let me welcome you to Catholic Vitamins.
Oh, Deacon Flax, the honor's mine. Thank you so much for reaching out to me.
Well, you're welcome. I found you, I think it was on LinkedIn, if I remember where mm-hmm. I saw you first. And I did mm-hmm. a little bit of research, and I thought, we are hearing so much about the World Meeting of Families and the Holy Father coming to America, and there's a lot of excitement, and you are one of the ways that we'll find out a little bit about what this is about. But before we talk about the Meeting of Families, let's find out a little bit about you. I've already said that you're obviously Catholic and that you're married and you are an attorney. Just give us a flyover of your early years from childhood to adult.
Well, my parents came to the United States in 1961 from Cuba. They fled communism, very devout Catholics. And I was born 2 weeks later in Atlanta, Georgia. I was raised in Cincinnati, Ohio, and then moved to New Jersey when my parents moved here. So I'm one of 6 children. I'm the 2nd of 6. And I had a Catholic upbringing, Catholic grade school, all-girls Catholic high school, St. Ursula Academy, and then met my husband at Seton Hall University, and we were married in the chapel, Immaculate Conception Chapel, by Bishop John J. Dougherty. So I've had a very charmed life, really, in the Catholic world.
Sounds absolutely lovely. But I do know from some material you've sent me and some of my own research that the lure of the world got in the way for a while. You want to talk about leaving the faith and then lead us into your
sure.
return.
I studied political science, and one of our professors at this Catholic university had taught us all about the one world order and there would be global world. And so I kind of had that as a background, that that was just a better way to get along, that we could just all belong to one world order and that sort of thing. So that was the foundational background I had. So at a certain point, I had a crisis of faith. I had one baby and then had 2 miscarriages and then had a 2nd baby. And I decided to leave practicing law to raise my children and felt a great loneliness. And I was heavily involved in the Catholic Church as a lector, Eucharistic minister, Archbishop's annual appeal fundraiser. And when I left, nobody noticed. Nobody called. Nobody reached out. And I went on a search looking for family and fellowship and found my way to the Unitarian Church, which totally embraced this one world order and this one everyone get along and social justice. And it really resonated with me for a little while. But I'm named Maria del Carmen. Yesterday was my feast day, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and Our Lady really called to me. And even though I was there for 3 or 4 years, it became less and less satisfying. It was more like college lectures rather than true spirituality. So I ended up going back to the Catholic Church by way of studying sacred scripture. It was partly my rebellion against what I had been raised with, you know, rejecting what my parents had given me, even though they had sacrificed their lives to bring us to the United States and give us a faith, because, you know, with communism, you can't practice your faith. Mm-hmm. So learning scripture taught me the truth of our faith and just brought me deeper and deeper into understanding it and embracing it. And I think there's nothing worse than a revert. We get very passionate about what we've just discovered, and we want everyone else to know it. So it was a long process in learning more about the Catholic Church and what I really was a part of that I had been longing for all my life. And so that's part of my background.
Well, that's beautiful. And we've had some wonderful stories of conversion and reversion. And I'm a revert myself and have become a deacon through my reversion. So I share your excitement for the faith. And did it not also bring about a change in your marriage situation, your marriage relationship?
Yes. As a matter of fact, my husband was also one of seven children. He was the youngest. And again, went to Catholic grade school, high school, college, and we really were just Catholics going through the motions. And we ended up having a very profound experience, my husband in particular, at Catholic Familyland. It's basically the name of the location out in Ohio, but the apostolate is called the Apostolate for Family Consecration. And there he made like a lifelong confession and realized that his whole world had been the business, and he didn't realize his spiritual leadership over the family. And we had four sons, and he really started going deeper into the faith. And then we wanted to make our marriage stronger. We had always been involved in Marriage Encounter, but we ended up finding another program called Living in Love, which is part of the theology of the body. And that made a profound effect on us in terms of being of service and being seeing our marriage as a true sacrament. And it was very, very moving. It's a long story, and it's a great way that we've come to back to the church in giving of service, where we volunteer and give these retreats, and we're actually leading one in our parish this summer on every Thursday night. And so it kind of gave us a heart for God and gave us, you know, we started saying the rosary again and wearing the scapular, and we ended up homeschooling for a while, and and that actually helped us learn our faith even deeper, teaching it to our children.
That's a wonderful story, and I love what it has done for you, this power of God's grace working in reversion. We don't do any commercials. We have no sponsorships, but I do know that you and your husband are involved in homes in New Jersey. Do you want to just put a quick plug in for what you're doing?
My husband has been involved in manufactured housing for 40 years. It's a way to provide affordable, quality homes. So our business is called Dolan Homes. And this past year, he asked me, after being home for 25 years, raising the children, to help him. And I've been involved with being the marketing and the advertising for the company. We have three communities in New Jersey, one in Carteret, one in Edison, and one in South Jersey in Egg Harbor Township. And my husband is a real Catholic leader in the industry. He has done a lot of work for charity and been the leader of the manufactured housing industry, the association as their president. And he's a wonderful man to emulate and to work with, because we help each other. I just, being a creative force for good and ministering to the people who come to your business has been a real fulfilling experience for both of us.
Wonderful. Wonderful. In a couple different ways, you've talked about the role of spiritual and other leadership in the family and in business. So I'll sort of toss you a softball. What do you think about Holy Father Francis as our father?
I am Spanish, and he is Spanish, and I find that his way of speaking really touches to the heart of people. It makes them feel embraced. I know it's caused some confusion to some people, and I think they get distortions of what he really means. I've said over and over again to friends, don't read what you read in the New York Times. Go straight to the Vatican website. Go straight to the source of what he's saying. He is passionate about making people feel loved and included. He is truly a father figure for our time. I think his approach is simple and humble, and those are all words that have been said about him already. He comes from a Jesuit background, which is very similar to what my father's upbringing was in Cuba. And, you know, the Ignatian Review and being in touch with the people and being always open to plan B, whatever God would, you know, transform in a situation. So there's a lot that he's already touched upon and opened up doors where other people had not been able to. I'm excited that he's coming to Philadelphia. I think it's a wonderful boost to Philadelphians who have suffered with financial crisis and some of the priestly scandals that have have happened in Philadelphia. I think it's and coming to the United States at this time, I think will also just recharge the Catholic faith and give new interest and dispel a lot of myths and open the doors wide.
All right. good to hear all that. Why don't we start into, by the way, I was ordained by Archbishop Charles Chaput, and I've said on previous shows to anybody that would listen that they've stolen our wonderful Archbishop out of Denver. I'm now in Arizona, but still incarnated in Denver, and I miss Archbishop Chaput a great deal. I really do.
It's a blessing to have him here. Oh,
yeah. Okay, so let's get into what is it that's going to be happening this fall. From an overview point of view, what's going to be happening in Philadelphia?
Well, the World Meeting of Families will be taking place Tuesday through Friday, and then the Pope will arrive on Saturday and Sunday. During the World Meeting of Families, there'll be youth tracks and adult tracks, and all families are being invited to come. There's an extraordinary force going on to make housing available, both camping sites nearby to make it affordable for families, and hotels, and people are donating their homes or their rooms. It's extraordinary what's going to be taking place in September. It's unprecedented and exciting, truly exciting.
All right. makes me think of World Youth Day, so this is WFD, World Family Days. Now, why don't you explain that your position is that you're going to be a media representative for the events that are taking place in Philadelphia. Why don't you start by telling our listeners how you got involved in this?
I received an email from a friend who writes for Ignatius Books, and he suggested that I apply for a position with the Archdiocese of Philadelphia in their media. They were requesting media representatives and volunteers to come forward and help them deal with what they consider will be, you know, an onslaught of media descending upon this World Meeting of Families, and they needed help to be able to address all the people who would be coming, asking questions and needing issues addressed. So the Archdiocese of Philadelphia hired and encouraged Catholic Voices organization to come and get those applications of people who wanted to volunteer to do it and interview them and train them. And I applied for that, and I believe there were over 200 people, and I think they picked 24. There might be more at this point. I haven't heard the rest of the statistics at this point. And they trained us over a course of 2 weekends in order to how to answer media questions with any topic whatsoever. And particularly with any hot button topics, you know, like abortion, contraception, same-sex marriage, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the organization World Voices. Tell our listeners what that is, please.
Catholic Voices was founded in England by Austin Ivrey. I-V-E-R-E-I-G-H. I'm probably saying it wrong. He actually wrote a book called How to Defend the Faith Without Raising Your Voice, Civil Responses to Catholic Hot Button Issues. And that's the book that really was our model for how to train for this. He's got a wonderful YouTube video where he explains the history of how Pope Benedict was coming to England, and he wanted to train people in a very gracious way to be able to address a hot-button issue without getting into arguments. And, you know, it's not about being right. It's about hearing people and getting below the surface question to the heart of what they're speaking of, and embracing them, loving them, and pulling together what you hear, the human element of it. So it's a life skill that everybody needs to have, every Catholic needs to have, because you'll never win someone over to understanding the faith by arguing. Most people don't even hear what you say. They come away with a sensation. They come away with a feeling like, oh, she's really nice. And then that softens your heart. So that's mm-hmm. kind of what we've been taught.
So, Maria, with this formation and this training that you've gone through, and knowing that you may be called on to represent the church, let me pretend that I'm the media today, and maybe I've got a little bit of an edge or an issue, and I'm going to construct this question as if I'm a newspaper reporter sent to you. Why is it that the church has the position that it does and not want to give women the choice over their own bodies?
The Catholic Church has always spoken on behalf of the voiceless, the defenseless, and those that are suffering. And in the case of a woman who wants to have her choice to abort the baby, she's usually going through a difficult situation. She's being coerced. She's frightened. It's an unplanned pregnancy. It's an unwanted pregnancy. So the importance of the mother is just as important as the baby. And the church speaks on behalf of the voiceless, the defenseless, the baby in utero, and promoting an awareness of how fragile life is and the value of life, both for the mother and the baby. So, for instance, offering places where mothers can go and give birth. The Sisters of Life were formed in Manhattan to really be with those mothers. Most women, now you get more and more women who are coming out and talking about the regret of their abortions. Mm-hmm. And the second suffering that happened after, making the baby leave their womb, like, I don't want to use the word killing because the mothers who say that it's their choice often feel like they have no choice, that this is the only way out. And the church walks with them in their suffering so that they realize they don't have to cause a second wound to themselves. This is what we're known for, is walking people on their path in their journey of life when there's been accidents, mistakes, situations they regret. Like, they don't have to do it alone. Even in our own church, in St. Anthony's in Red Bank, we have a group called the Baby Shower Group, and we go to the women who are indigent, which is poor, and immigrants who don't really have resources in the United States, and we shower them with baby gifts when we find out they're pregnant, and we make them feel like they're supported. We want to have a personal relationship with people when they are going through something bad. When a mother goes and gets an abortion, it's done in secret, it's done in haste, and it's done alone. And nobody deserves to be in that setting. That's sorrowful and sad. There's Chris Bell, who created Good Counsel Homes, and the mothers can stay there for a year. And after they give birth to their baby, they can stay there for a year. And they live in a little group setting, and there's a house mother, and she is giving them breastfeeding advice and parenting advice. Many of these mothers weren't even parented themselves. So that kind of support is real, and it's at the core of the mothers who are being forced to make a choice that they probably don't want to. If they really slow down and think about it, they would choose differently, knowing that there's going to be other people that are going to be with them. That's the beauty of the church, is offering a real answer to a mother who is alone, including adoption for a young college girl who's alone, got pregnant, and can't raise the baby. Adoption has always been one of the most important things the Catholic Church has done, offering mothers a place to bring their babies, knowing that they'll be placed in a home that will give them the care and comfort that they themselves feel that they can't offer. When you look at it in that way, it just makes a mother feel full of hope and promise. There's always a different perspective than the initial reaction of like, oh no, I'm pregnant, now what do I do? And I got to get rid of this problem right away before someone finds out. And, you know, there's no shame in sharing your sorrow and having someone help you find a solution that you yourself may not have known about or would have preferred not to have chosen. Again, there's a lot of women who are now coming out talking about the sorrow that they've been left with for the rest of their lives. Because really, a mother bonds with her baby inside her womb, whether she really thinks about it or not. It happens.
Well, Maria, I can tell that the preparation that they have done with you, not taking anything away from your own heart and your own background and faith belief, but that the preparation they've done has helped you to express things from a loving point of view, from a caring point of view, and not being defensive, if you will, and not being condemnatory. So that sounds really great.
There's 10 principles that Catholic Voices really stressed, and one of them was to look at the positive intention of what the person is criticizing the Catholic Church about, and usually they're Christian values. Another one is shedding light, not heat, where you're in a debate. Another one was that people remember what you, not what you said, but how you made them feel. And that goes hand in hand with the value of being compassionate and being positive and telling a story rather than rattling off statistics. It's showing that the true answer is not about you listen, I mean, you as a person being asked and get your ego out of the way, but really get to the heart of why is that person bringing that up. There's usually a backstory. There's usually heartache. There's usually some personal experience that brings them some anger or hostility. And beyond that, there's always the hurt underneath those surface emotions that people express. So really, you're witnessing. You're witnessing by the way you respond. And it's not always what you're saying, but how you deliver that love in your answer, through your eyes, through a smile. And that's what Catholic Voices ended up training us.
And I could just imagine that if you're in some setting where there's a lot of media, that you will just get all sorts of questions. Sounds a little daunting. Well, this has been really interesting to hear, you know, some about your journey and your strongly coming back to the faith, about your marriage being reborn, I guess. And
that's a good word.
yeah. And your family, are you going with your husband and family to Philadelphia?
Yes, and part of the fruit of coming back to the faith is that one of our sons became a seminarian for the Diocese of Trenton several years ago. So he'll be coming up from Mount St. Mary's, his seminary, with all the seminarians, and they'll be there too, and my husband and I will be there with our two younger sons, and they've gotten permission from their high school to spend the week there in this once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Mm, wonderful. Gosh, I hope you take lots of pictures, and I'm going to just put on your heart that I may try to reach out to you, even if we do a mini-interview the next time, just to find out what it was like to be in Philadelphia and some of the experiences that you had. Maria Hidalgo Dolan, Catholic, wife, mother, attorney, and now media representative for the World Meeting of Families. What a joy to get sort of an insider's introduction to what this is all about. And you sound like you have the excitement that I have just being so curious about what this is all about. Thank you so very much for agreeing to come on our show.
It's truly been a blessing. Thank you.
Thanks a lot to Maria for coming on the show. I enjoyed that interview. My voice, as you can tell, is fading.
I don't know what happened to you all of a sudden. We are going to go on with our Bite of Scrabble. How's that? Oh, we got a book draw first.
Yeah, we do. We do. We do. This is a great book, Less Than a Minute to Go, The Secret to World-Class Performance in Sport, Business, and Everyday Life by Dr. Bill Thierfelder. I got this when I was back at the Catholic Radio Association in Charlotte.
And we've been running this promotion for about 3 weeks, and I've got my basket here full of a name.
Okay, here we go. Oops, I got two here.
Not two, just one.
I always go through this as I open up the Holly Sasson.
Uh-oh.
What?
Well, I'd already pulled our winner for Vita Scrabble today.
Yes.
It's Holly Sasson.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
She's a double winner today.
Oh, really?
Well, yes.
All right. Well, we'll try to follow through appropriately. Holly, thank you for participating and listening to Catholic Vitamins.
Okay. Here's the book, and I will get that ready to go out to her.
What else are we going to do, Dee?
I don't have anything else.
Well, our show has run a little long, so maybe we can do a wrap-up.
We'll do Bite of Scrabble for next time.
I want to just ask people once again, adopt the bishops and the Holy Father in your hearts and prayers, and pray for the World Meeting of Families in Philadelphia this fall. We hope to have more information about marriage and about the get-together a little later.
All right. Vita Scrabble for next time. Catholic vitamin B, as in boy.
Okay.
Starts with B, ends in H.
Hmm.
Five letters.
Should be an easy one.
Should be.
All right.
We'll see.
Well, dear friends, you can tell that Dee tells me it's time to wrap up, so
we need to tell them where to send in their guests.
Do that. Go ahead. Come on. You got the voice. Come on.
Take a guess. Send it to catholicvitamins@gmail.com.
Okay, great. Great. Thanks for listening to Catholic Vitamins. We hope to see you, and we'll be back earlier than this time.
Bye.
From A to Z. Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.